Audacity. Who gave you attitude?
Rising violent crime in Jamaica described by the head of government as almost a competition for cruelty. And more in this edition of the Caribbean News Roundup coming right up. The Jamaican government announced Sunday that it has taken new measures to tackle growing violent crime in the country. Prime Minister Andrew Holness, at a press conference Sunday morning, told the nation about the measures being taken, including a state of emergency in a number of areas.
States of public emergencies were declared in the police divisions of St. James, Westmorland, and Hanover. These three are termed the tri-parish SOEs. And in the corporate area, the St. Andrew South Police Division, the Kingston West Police Division, the Kingston Central Police Division, and the Kingston East Police Division. All of these divisions have seen increases ranging from 16% to 57%. All have murder rates per 100,000 in excess of the regional average, which is 15%.
Meanwhile, Police Commissioner Major General Anthony Anderson gave details on the kind of violence the country is dealing with.
So despite continued police action against offenders, violent offenders, prosecutions of criminal gangs and gang members, the persistent epidemic of violence continues. Criminals armed with illegal firearms continue to kill our people. We have a murder rate that persists at a level of 3 times our regional average and 8 times the global average. Since COVID-19, a number of jurisdictions globally have seen increases in criminal violence and murder of up to 30%, and even beyond. Our murders this year have increased by 10%. However, this 10% is 10% of a persistently unacceptably high number, which means Jamaica's homicide rate remains within the top 5 countries in the world.
And remarking further on the crime situation, Prime Minister Holness described the violence almost as a competition for cruelty.
We have decided to declare the SOEs because of the nature and frequency of the violence surrounding the murders and other crimes. And I'm sure every Jamaican would have recognized that the nature and frequency of the violence has devolved to a level of barbarity, a level of savagery. It is almost a competition for cruelty, the worst of the worst, and it appears to be designed, properly calculated, to drive fear into the citizenry of the country and panic in communities.
Trinidad and Tobago's state of emergency, which took effect in May of this year, will end on Wednesday, November 17. But Prime Minister Keith Rowley said the police service will enforce some of the laws which will remain under the Public Health Ordinance. Here's the Prime Minister in this TTT News report.
So on Wednesday, the Parliament will meet and we will discontinue state of emergency and we continue to manage the vaccinated population and the unvaccinated population under the Public Health Ordinance.
Although scheduled to end on November 29th, Prime Minister Dr. Keith Rowley said the country's state of emergency is no longer necessary, but the population must still abide by the laws under the Public Health Ordinance, such as wearing masks. Dr. Rowley also announced that public gatherings will remain at 10, but public fetes and parties will be prohibited. Non-religious indoor events, christenings and weddings can continue with 50% capacity. Public transport will also remain at 75% and all border arrangements will remain in place. While church services will remain at 90 minutes, the capacity at the services and at grave sites have increased.
At the church, you can have 50% occupancy at the church for mourners, but at the graveside, 25 persons at the graveside.
Dr. Rowley said bars, restaurants and cinemas will continue to operate as safe zones with 50% capacity, but there will be no public consumption of alcohol.
St. Lucia's United Workers' Party is not impressed with Prime Minister Philip Jepe and his Labour Party's first 100 days in office. During a November 11th press conference, the UWP revisited Labour Party campaign rhetoric. According to the now opposition UWP, the SLP campaign rhetoric was used to deceive voters and eventually led to the change in the political directorate. However, those claims are being rubbished by one SLP loyalist, as MBC Prime News reports.
Seizing on the UWP criticism, Labour Party loyalist and former spokesman Winston Springer offered to jog the memories of and outline his own comparative analysis of the former administration's first 100 days.
To have given the St. Lucia Labour Party an F for governing after 100 days in office is, to say the least, a festering heap of human waste. Let's talk about the United Workers Party's first 100 days in office. You stopped the airport project, St. Jude's Hospital, the Vieux-Fort Administrative Center, gave away hundreds of acres of our lands to a Chinaman for $1 an acre, stopped the reconstruction of the Soufre Square, gave $24 million in tax write-off to Sandals, stopped the LED lighting project, fired over 2,500 workers employed in the Smile and Nice social programs, lied to the people about signing an agreement for a decrease in the price of fuel, lied about securing $1.5 billion in foreign development investment, abolished the constitutional position of a deputy speaker, lied and lied, a litany of lies, while your leader, Alan Chastney, went globe trotting.
November 13 marked 100 days since Pierre's Labour Party officially assumed office. In a November 5th statement, the office of the Prime Minister highlighted a number of early campaign pledges already fulfilled in the last 3 months, among them $2.6 million for facility fees for all primary and secondary school students, $1.8 million for the educational assistance program, an allocation of $10 million for a national housing assistance project, and bolstering the island's COVID-19 response.
The Guyana government is about to hold an amnesty for people with illegal weapons. They will be given a chance to lodge those weapons with law enforcement. That precedes changes as the authorities prepare to legislate stiffer penalties following the amnesty. Guyana News Source has more information on that move.
The president made a statement on the issue while examining measures that his government plans to put in place to tackle the growing crime problem.
So what I've asked the AG to look at the laws and to apply the highest penalty, to propose an amendment to apply the highest penalty of persons found with illegal weapons, because that is a major contributory factor to this.
For those persons with illegal weapons, the president noted that there will be a period of amnesty to get those weapons off the streets.
We're going to give a period for all those persons with illegal weapons to deposit those weapons, after which the law will be amended to give you the greatest penalty.
Declaring that the life of crime is short-lived, the president announced that his government will be extending an olive branch to persons who are engaged in criminal activities with a view to give them a second chance and to make their lives better.
Very soon we'll launch a program, very confidential program, to bring you in once you want to change your life. We want a discussion with you. We want to talk to you to give you an alternative pathway to earning an income and living a decent life.
Under the laws of Guyana, a person found guilty of possession of an unlicensed firearm could face a fine of up to $15,000 with a jail term not exceeding 3 years.
This story now about a homeless Chinese man in St. Vincent being harassed in Kingstown. With that development, journalist broadcaster Kenton Chance.
For the last week or so, I've been following a story with a Chinese gentleman. His name is Yu Lai Bao, that's his name. Mr. Yu came to St. Vincent about... Okay, so he came to St. Vincent almost 2 years ago. And what he's just said is that his boss threw him out, and since then he's been living on the street of St. Vincent. I was reliably informed that the immigration department has been trying to get this gentleman, to arrange for this gentleman to leave the country. And today... Okay, so what he said is that his boss asked him to come to St. Vincent to work, and then his boss threw him out on the street. There have been certain allegations that have been leveled against this gentleman, allegations of a criminal nature, but he has not been charged with any crimes in St. Vincent. There are allegations of dishonesty about the theft of money from his boss. No charges, as far as I am aware, have been brought against him. Okay, so what he's complaining about is that there are two, what do you call them, children here who are talking about him. I came here tonight because I gave him a call. I had received some information that the authorities had given his boss, the people who brought him here, who applied for a visa on his behalf and residency and permit and all of that, to rent a space for him to live and get him off the street by tonight. So I called him to ask him if he was still on the street. And he said he was still on the street. And when I called him, he gave me the phone and I spoke to someone who told me that there are some people who are beating him. The people around here, they've been expressing opinions about his situation. I don't know. Would you be willing to speak to me on camera? Okay, so here's one general. Yes, sir. Do you mind if I ask you your name?
I don't want to
press. Okay, he doesn't want to give your name. Before you go on, though, I want to ask you some questions. For how long have you been seeing this gentleman on the streets of Kingstown?
There's some weeks now. Mm-hmm. I've seen him. And every time we see him, he has two young men around now. And they're not here, leave him man alone. More people are telling him, leave him man. You not leave him man alone.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Monday, November 15. I'm Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The Caribbean News Roundup. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. At 7:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 6 p.m. Let's get to know our region even better with OSAR Radio.